Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. I'm Sharif Quadri. It's 5 minutes past the hour. Lagos, how are you today? I hope you had a great rest overnight. Well, the weather, it may rain according to the weatherman today, so always prepare for what is ahead for today. Yesterday, I think it rained all day yesterday, yeah? So please prepare very well as you step out today. A quick one, yeah? Round table is coming up 28, 29 and 30 June. And you know what we do on Roundtable. Only that this time around, we're going to have it for 3 solid days. We will take it round the country. Nigeria Info FM Lagos, Nigeria Info FM Abuja, and Nigeria Info FM Port Harcourt. So it's going to be a national discourse, as you may want to refer to it. So keep it a date. Lock it down somewhere. Set a reminder. You have to tune in. Absolutely. Okay. Let's start. This morning, you know, the show every Friday is divided into two. The first part, we talk about something really vital. The second part, we discuss and budget half hour. So in the next 20 or so minutes, we'll be having this conversation, very important conversation, about a particular documentary done by BBC Africa Eye, BBC Eye, about a particular situation whereby African children are being exploited to make personalized videos, including racist content, for sale on Chinese websites and Chinese social media. BBC got wind of this and they jumped right on it. They combined open source analysis, traditional reporting, and undercover journalism. BBC Africa Eye, BBC Eye, tracked down and confronted one prolific Chinese video producer who has used very young children from rural Malawi, just a town outside of Lilongwe, to make and sell thousands of videos in the Chinese social media space. One of such videos got the entire world talking. And then BBC Africa Eye, BBC Eye reporter Ronako Salina jumped right on it. Also, Henry Mango, Malawi investigative journalist, also jumped right on it as well. The two combined their efforts to bring to light the stories behind that documentary. Please watch live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. That's how you can watch us live on Facebook and YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. I'm going to bring very quickly right now Ronako on the show. She joins us via Skype. Henry is also joining via Skype this morning. Lady, gentleman, good morning to you from this side of the world. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having us. Firstly, just to apologize about the background noise. I'm in a train station, so apologies in advance.
It's fine. It's fine. Would manage that, Ronako. Would manage that. Henry, are you with us?
Yeah, sure. I'm with you, and I hear you clearly. Can you hear me as well?
Absolutely. Very clearly. I can hear you, Henry.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ronako, let me start with you. How did you hear about the activities of these Chinese who go into African villages to make videos? How did you come about that information to start with?
Yeah, so I lived in Beijing for about 6 years. And, you know, throughout the process of my time there, you easily come across this content, this industry of video makers and content using African children and men and women has existed for about 7 years. So since the beginning until now, both Africans in China and, you know, Chinese people who see the problem with this stuff have complained about it. And I remember coming across this stuff back in 2016, 2017. And what I've noticed is a gradual kind of progression in the problematic nature of this content, right? Resulting eventually in the video we see in 2020 where the kids are insulting themselves.
Absolutely. We'll come to that video in a moment. But Henry, let me talk to you very briefly about this particular issue. But yes, Runako has been in China for some time. How about yourself? How did you get involved?
Thank you so much. So what happened was that after Runako had done her online research, she thought of engaging someone who is on the ground so that he does the investigation on the ground.
Yeah.
So when she tipped me about her investigation, her research findings, she sent me the coordinates of the location where this man called Soso was exactly doing the
videos.
Yes, the village. Now, when I followed the coordinates and they located the village, I thought of establishing friendship with the people in the village so that I can easily get information about the man that we've been targeting. I had been moving in different places. I could find some people drinking in Shabins. I could sometimes even go there and try to chat with them.
Mm.
They reached a point of taking me as a one of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, I managed to learn more about the background of this person, how he managed to get himself into the village, how he managed to win people's trust, what he was actually doing there, and how he was treating the kids. Yeah, so basically that's how I managed to learn more about this person on the ground.
Mm. Runako, you eventually came down to confront Zuzu. Tell us exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly. So, we spent about a year and a half investigating this issue and looking into who could be behind this content. And eventually, through looking at social media videos and trying to pair up different features of the villages that we saw, we were able to kind of identify the suspect that we considered most likely. We did kind of put our findings to him, as you see in the confrontation. You know, this was built on a long time of working on this and trying to see and build up a case against the person that we considered had done this video. And as you see as well in the film, we also had an undercover journalist who was speaking to him, and he first admits to making this film, this video, and then he eventually denies that it was him. When I met him in the village, that was the first time I'd come face to face with him, obviously, and he was surprised, and I was also very nervous. But I put those allegations to him, and he denied everything, as you see on camera. We leave it to the audience ultimately to decide what they think.
Hmm. But very, very quickly, though, Runako, it was quite an emotional thing for you when you were speaking with him. Tell us exactly what was going through your mind. What were the thoughts in your head while you were interacting with this man?
I think, when I have seen, because obviously the video that came out in 2020 is horrific. But throughout the film, you see several other pieces of content pulled directly from his profile, and those were equally problematic. He has the children washing his feet, giving him a massage. And in one video, I was also kind of going through his comments and everything. And he describes himself as, today, I'm the king of the children. And just seeing that degree of exploitation, and then having to come face to face with him and not break down in tears or be angry, was extremely difficult, especially because of the context, right? So he said, the video that he alleged, he says he didn't make, he says that, I'm a black devil, my IQ is low. So when I'm standing in front of him as a black person and he is telling me he did not make this video, he's telling me he did not say any of these things, I started to think, well, do you think my IQ is low? Are you, do you think I'm stupid? Because I've just seen 2 weeks prior to us confronting you, you've said these heinous things, these horrible things on camera. And now you're saying the exact opposite in my face. It was almost a slap in the face. In some ways, I would have respected it more if he was honest.
Let's talk a bit more about what could be his motivation. You've been in China for some years, or you were there for some years now. The market for this sort of, because I saw the documentary myself, the documentary seemed to say that, you know, there's a booming market, you know, for African children to be used to pass messages and all of that. What was the response of the social media space in China to videos such as this? Is it acceptable over there? Do they appreciate it, or is something that it's frowned against?
Yeah, so, you know, from the beginning of the film, we tried to paint this picture, which is accurate in real life. It's polarized, you know. Some people question this content from the very beginning, who are of Chinese heritage, you know, kind of thought, what's going on behind the scenes? Why would you stick a camera in the face of African children? What's the interest in this content? You know, but other people, you know, there's a market for this content for a reason. He's been in this village for years for a reason. And it's because it's profitable, it's lucrative, you know. I think one more thing that I would love to say about this is that he was able to continue doing this work for such a long time because on the local side, there was a perspective that this was charitable potentially. You know, everyone that we spoke to had this opinion that maybe we're going to get some help from this. He's part of a charitable organization.
Oh.
And on the Chinese side, when you see these videos on social media, right, you see him handing food to children with slow music playing in the background. For a domestic audience, sometimes they are led to believe that, hey, this is a charitable operation, so let me continue to support it, you know?
I hear you, and that's quite deceptive. Henry, let me come to you initially. Henry, when you were speaking the other time, you said that you try to blend in so that people over there can actually take you as one of theirs. Do they know, they have an idea of what is going on? Do they think that what Zhuzhu was doing could be charitable stuff to their kids? I know that you spoke with a particular mother of one of the, I think the favorite of the children, who is even a superstar in China's social media space. But let's talk about the people there themselves, Henry. Do they know exactly what's going on?
Yeah, sure. So when I was interacting with the people, when they indicated that they knew about what is happening, what was happening in the village, they knew about this person, and they even told me the cover-up story that he used to found himself in the village. For instance, the people, when I was asking the people that who is he, they were saying, no, this one is a Chinese man who has come from China to do charity work in Malawi, and he has targeted our village because that's where they are most poor people. So he's trying to identify well-wishers from friends and other well-wishers from China to be helping them by providing them with aid and support their education. And others were saying that he's there to help the children learn Chinese. So that's another cover-up story that he had. And it took few people who started becoming suspicious with his activities after they noted that even though he went there as a Chinese, as someone who would want to be teaching children Chinese, but none of the children would be able to understand Chinese, despite that he lived with them for years. None of the families of these children could get any support.
Right.
Through the claimed charity works that this guy said he's there in the village for. Yeah, so generally I can say people knew about him. And some of the people who were suspicious about his activities reported him even to some of the authorities in the village.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I might not be able to name these officials or the institution,
right,
but managed to report to the some of the authorities in the village, and right, these people include the village chiefs who went to report him to some authorities. But the authorities could come in the village like they want to help the people, they could talk to him, but by the end of the day, nothing could happen. The guy continued doing his operations in the village. So that's how I can respond to your question. People were aware of what this man was doing in the village.
Renako, what do you hope could be the response from government, especially Chinese government maybe, or even Malawian government? What do you hope to should be the response?
So, I mean, we have had responses from actors on both sides. We've had ministers on the Malawian side. We've had the foreign minister as well from the Chinese side, Wu Peng. So we have had responses. From the beginning, I think for both of us, it's always been about raising awareness, because oftentimes in my own experience, you know, living within China, we have spoken about this. Like I said, but it's been here for 7 years. And if you think, you know, Su Su tells us at one point, he says that at its highest, in one day, he was able to shoot 380 videos.
What?
And so every time I think about this, children standing there in one day having to scream and shout at the top of their lungs to film these videos. And I think if we've been talking about it internally within the country for such a long time, bringing awareness outside is often the only way to get things taken seriously, because then it becomes, it's a massive stage, right? Everyone now knows it cannot be denied anymore. So from the beginning, we wanted to bring this awareness so that immediately, this industry would come to an end. It should have done 7 years ago when it first started. Unfortunately, it's taken this long.
Is this going on in other African countries as well? Do you know?
Absolutely. So the documentary, obviously, it's only 45 minutes, and I wish we could have shown just everything. You know, I think maybe even just half of our true findings are in the film, unfortunately. You know, there's a scene in the beginning, quite early on in the film, when we're looking for the village, and we show a map of the continent, and we highlight some of the countries. Actually, after the film was aired, I realized that there's one more country missing, but we highlight about seven countries that I personally have found operations in. And this is as part of the wider industry, right? So we're speaking about children, but also men and women featuring in these videos too. But it's not just a Malawian problem. You know, this industry started with a fascination of Africanness for some bizarre reason, but it started with children and it's found its way to adults of different sizes and ages as well. So you know, we hope that this film has come at a stage where the industry is trying to expand, and we will help to shut it back down, if that makes sense.
Eventually, it will happen. It has to be shut down. Renako Selina, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Henry Mwango, thank you so much for joining us on the show. And thank you for the good work that you do. We appreciate you a lot.
Thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to speak to people in Nigeria and the world at large through your medium. We really don't take it for granted. Yeah, sure.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. You can go check out the documentary on the BBC Africa Eye website. You can go to YouTube and go check it out as well. It's right there. You'll be able to watch for yourself and know what is going on, what is happening. We'll take a break right now. When we return, budget half hour is next. Good morning to you.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.